right, Danny boy? It's great to see you today. Wasn't that? The song was beautiful. The dance was beautiful. I think I could say amen and just send you home. Everything has been that great. This Thursday night, you saw Jim Kapika is going to do a Bible study coming up, starting in a little over a week. She'll also be speaking at this midweek Thursday, so you get a... Ladies, if you don't know her, come. She's just an incredible communicator, and just so blessed to have her a part of the house of God here. Ladies, I want to remind you, on the way out, we've got a gift for you. Stop at the selfie station, get your portrait, take it out front. If you need somebody to take it with, just holler, I'll come. Or one of my boys, they'd love to do that with you. You know, Aaron, did Joanne, did you get one of those pedicures this morning? Yes? I see you. Nod your head yes. Okay. Where's your favorite restaurant around this area? I can't only take one place at a time, Don. For both of you. I'm not just going to say. Anyways, I want you to think about it. And then when you come to get your pedicure, then we're going to send you to dinner, too, both of you, okay? You can have a little date night with your wife, Don. Come on. Is that okay? Don, I want to see you move your head. I can see you from here. I want to see you move your head like that. I'm not going on until you move your head like that. Don. Yes, thank you. All right. Now I know you're breathing back there. Good. Great. I want to read to you a scripture this morning, two scriptures. I'm only going to be just a couple minutes because I know you got plans today and I want you to have a great time with your family. But this will help you. This will encourage you today. I want to sow something into your life. Father, just for the next few minutes, I pray that everything that is said, God, you'll add your anointing to it. For your anointing breaks every yoke. And God, your word says that when the power of the gospel goes forth, it will not return void. God, you have intentions for it this morning. So, God, that's why we just want to pause and thank you in advance for what you're going to do. You're going to encourage, you're going to lift up, you're going to build up those who maybe are struggling today and just confirm the love in each one that you have. We love you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I want to read two scriptures out of Psalm 139 this morning and then another one in just a moment out of Matthew chapter 20. But this verse of scripture is just so beautiful. The psalmist says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I love that. You saw me before I was even born. We have any pregnant ladies in this house today? Wave at me. Yes? One? Two? Any more? Lori, you're pregnant? Oh, Morgan. I saw her hand go up. I go, well, praise the Lord. I'm excited. Wow. Sarah was 90. Morgan. That God is watching that baby right now being formed. Maybe that's a prophetic word, Lori. Maybe you are pregnant. Who knows? I'll move on that. He said, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life, listen to this, moms, every day, he says, of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had even passed. Moms, God has such a plan for you. He was there the moment that you became a mom, even before that baby is delivered. God says, you're already a mom. That life inside of you, I don't care what movement in our culture today says that it's not a child until it comes out of the womb. That's not what the Bible says. He says that even while the baby is being formed in utter seclusion, you know what that means? Ask me later and I'll explain it to you real plainly. at the moment of conception, God says, you're a mom. You're beautiful. And none of us would be here today if it wasn't for moms. A column, I've kept this, and I love this. It was by the old writer Irma Bombeck. She tells of God and the act of creating mothers. She says, an angel said to him, Lord, are you sure? Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. And the Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She is supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She's able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She's supposed to have six pairs of hands. Six pairs of hands, the angel said. That's impossible. It's not the six pairs of hands that bother me, the Lord said. It's the three pairs of eyes. She is supposed to have one pair that sees through closed doors so that whenever she says, what are you kids doing in there? She already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all things she is not supposed to see but must see. And then she has one pair in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicated love and understanding without saying a single word. That's too much, said the angel. You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest for a while and resume your creating tomorrow? No, I can't, said the Lord. I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she is sick, who can feed a family of six with 1 pound of hamburger, and who can provide or persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. I like that one. The angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, she's too soft. Oh, but she is tough, said the Lord. You'd be surprised how much this mother can do. Can she think? Asked the angel. Not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason, compromise, and persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. This one has a leak, he said. I told you that you couldn't put that much in one model. That's not a leak, said the Lord. That's a tear. What is a tear for? Asked the angel. It's for joy. It's for sadness. It's for sorrow. It's for disappointment. And it's for pride. And then the angel said, Lord, you are a genius. That's moms today. Come on. Can you clap for the moms today? I want to read this scripture out of Matthew 20 to you today. It's verse 20. Three verses. The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. What is your request? Jesus asked. She replied, in your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus answered, saying to them, you don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or on my left. My Father has prepared those places for the ones he had chosen. James and John, in Mark chapter 3 and verse 17, they were also called the sons of thunder. I know what that's like. I have some sons of thunder. James also witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus in the book of Acts. And in Mrs. Zebedee, he was aware of this in the teachings of Jesus. And remember that James and John were two-thirds of the inner circle of Peter, James, and John. And we might criticize the mother of these children for her presumptuous asking for such a great thing. But I want you to notice here, although we recognize that he did not give them the request that she asked, she didn't deny it either. And it reminded her, Jesus did, of the cost that they would have to pay to sit and to be in that place. And so what can we learn from Mrs. Zebedee in this? I want to just share three little thoughts with you, tell you a story, and then I'm going to close. Number one, the Bible says she came to the Lord praying. Her sons might be in one way, but when she came to Jesus, the Bible says that she knelt down and she began to pray, not only that her kids would be saved, but that they would be a part of his kingdom. And I know that many moms here, you pray, and some you have to pray out of necessity. Sometimes you pray because things have become difficult in your life. Maybe some of you pray out of frustration. You're upset. Your kids push the limit and go to the wall with you. And believe me, if you pray, God will help you. Because becoming a parent is not the easiest thing in the world. Sometimes it's filled with joy. Sometimes it's filled with sadness. Sometimes your children can make you so proud, you'll pop your buttons off your shirt. And then at other times, they will cause you to find such heartache that you will not find enough handkerchiefs to wipe the tears from your eyes. And it's not just enough for our children to grow up and have great talents and gifting. We must encourage them to grow up to serve the Lord, and not only to serve him, but to be a part of the kingdom of God. We need this heart, and we need to look for opportunities to send our kids into the work of the Lord, to give them opportunities to find God in themselves, because Jesus has no grandchildren, just children. And it's great. We teach our kids. We bring them up to understand the Lord, but it's sometimes they have to know that for themselves. And you and I as parents, moms and dads, have to continually look for opportunities for them to know this, for them to learn this, and for them to have opportunities to find God in the middle of their heartache, in the middle of their trouble, in the middle of their challenge. And sometimes we want to come to their rescue because we can help them through it. We can get them out of it. But I'm learning the older that I get that it's better for me to pray that God will meet them at the place where they're at instead of me always meeting them. I had an interesting thing yesterday. My son Garrett, he graduated from school, I wish Cheryl Vendetti was here too. I was reminded when Ryan was talking about her this morning, when Patty was still carrying Garrett, and we were searching for names, and we came up with the name Garrett Alec. And you know, you always have people, I think they're well-meaning, but some people came up, where'd you get that? That's a goofy name. Where'd you get that? You know what? I'll never forget Cheryl Vendetti. She says, someday, Garrett will lead a great company. He'll be a brilliant man. He wasn't even born yet, and she was speaking these words out of her mouth. And I couldn't help to think about that yesterday when Garrett is graduating from St. John Fisher, summa cum laude, with his master's in business administration, the top in his class with a 4.0 average, that the words that Cheryl Vendetti spoke. Come on today. Moms and dads, you got power in your mouth today. You don't lay back and let the enemy do whatever he wants. You speak those words over your kids. And then, you know, in the middle of it this week, he hurt his back. And, you know, we had a tough day on Wednesday. And he's taken some painkiller, some giving him hiccups. And we went to lunch after the graduation. We're sitting there at lunch and he invited a couple of his friends, and one of his friends said, if you drink water with a straw going across your mouth. So Garrett's over there, he's drinking that water, and I'm like, what in the world is he doing? They're saying, oh, it'll get rid of the hiccup. He gets done drinking the water, sets it down, pulls the straw out of his mouth. That didn't work. Then his oldest brother, Ben, said, I got something that'll work. He goes, what is it? He said, I got to slap your face. And Garrett said, what? Oh, yeah, it's proven. Garrett takes off his glasses. He's there. Ben, bam, right on the side. And Garrett's there. Oh, that really hurt. About 30 seconds later, yeah. Ben's looking at him. I guess that didn't work either. And it reminded me of years ago. I was 17. 18 at the time, I was working on the farm with my father-in-law. And I had this paper with these figures on it that he'd given to me, and I lost it. He said, where is it? I go, I don't know. You don't know? I go, no, I don't know. He said, did you ask the Lord to help you to find it? I go, no, I didn't ask the Lord. Like, I'm 18. What can God help me with? And in the only way that he could, And I can't yell like he yelled at. You got to ask the Lord to help you. You need him to help you. And he went off on me, and I'm walking out of the room. I go, okay, God help me to find this paper. Within 5 minutes, I looked. Oh, there it is. I picked it up, and I went back. See, I told you. So I'm reminded this. We're on the way home. Garrett's over there. His back is hurting. We had a long 3.5-hour graduation. My God, I was hoping for the rapture to come. No. But we're on the way home, and I'm reminded of this story. And I look over at him. He's in pain. He's hurting. He really doesn't want to hear anything from his dad. And I said to him, did you ask the Lord to help you with your hiccups? No. I said, well, Lord, take my hiccups away. Help me with my back. Amen. Amen. Driving down the road, didn't hear nothing. We're leaving Rochester, didn't hear. We're pulling, we're getting close to Bergen. He looks over at me, big smile. My hiccups are gone, Dad. Wow. Are you kidding me? You mean God answered prayer? And see, sometimes you've got to look for opportunities to point your children towards God being their answer and not you. I woke up early in the morning on Saturday morning. To tell you, when God speaks to me, I hear it. And I heard him say to me, I allowed this to happen to keep him from something else. And I didn't know if I should tell him that. And God's not the author of pain and confusion and hurt. But sometimes, you know what? In life, I've learned. He steps back. He sees the bigger picture. Moms and dads, he's seen it with your children today. And I said to him, Garrett, I wanted to tell you too. I felt the Lord speak to me and say, he allowed this to happen to keep you from something else. He wasn't thrilled with that from his dad at the moment. But you know what? I've learned that in time, our children see the things that we give them opportunity to experience. Are you listening to me today? Some of you moms and dads, maybe your kids are going through a tough time. Maybe they're in a difficult situation. Maybe they're in a spot where you could get them through it. You could bail them out, but you're not helping them. You're only enabling them. And God wants to be their source. And when you allow him to be that source, he'll help them through that. And he will become the Lord and Savior of their lives. Amen? Come on today. That's good stuff right there. The second thing is that the Bible says that she prayed that they would be actively involved in the work of his kingdom. Not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray for her children to sit at the right hand. When Jesus said, if they do, you know you're asking a big thing. And the mom says, we are able. We want to be a part of it. We want to raise our kids, not only just to serve the God that we know, we want them to be actively involved serving the God they need to know. You know, many times we're praying for God to bless our family, to bless our lives. But do you know, I've learned that the greatest blessings that God brings to us is when our family, when our children are together and we're serving God together in the same capacity. Come on today. Don't keep your kids from getting involved. Don't keep your kids from being released into things that you think are a little scary, you think are a little edgy. Release them to do that and watch the hand of God take over their life, protect them, and call them into serving God in his kingdom. And when you do, they will be blessed of God. And number three, listen to this. I like this. Mrs. Zebedee had big expectations for those kids. I like this. I got big expectation for my kids. She wanted them at the right and the left hand of Jesus. And some may say, well, that's kind of an arrogant thing to ask. Maybe, but maybe she just wanted them to do great things. Maybe she wanted the best for them. Instead of praying a little prayer like, oh, God, just bless them. Give them a new car. Do this for them. She prayed for them to be one on the right and one on the left. And when Jesus said, are they willing to drink? Are you willing to drink of this cup? There is a sacrifice. She said yes, because she had big expectations for her kids. You and I must believe God and have big expectations for our kids. Speak those things. Do, like I said, Cheryl Vendetti did. Call those things that you're not even sure of. Speak them into their lives. Believe God to do something great in them. Don't settle for little when God wants to do big in their life. He calls you and I to speak the words of life. And especially moms and dads, you hold that key right in the mouth that God has given you today. Come on. Do you receive that today? Come on. Do you receive that today? I want to close with this story. It's from World War II and the Holocaust. It took the lives of millions of people. And there was a true story about a man by the name of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife, two sons, his mother and father were arrested. And they were placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp. And the rules were simple. As long as you were able to do the work, you could live, but the moment that you couldn't, you would be exterminated. Rosenberg watched as his older mom and dad were marched off to their deaths, being exterminated. And he knew that the next in line would be his youngest son, David, because David had always been a frail child. And every evening, listen to me, parents, every evening, Mr. Rosenberg would come back to the barracks after he worked hours and hours, and he looked for his family. And when he found them, they would huddle together in the corner. They would embrace one another, and they would thank God for one more day. Let that settle in you a little bit. One day, Rosenberg came back, and he didn't see all the familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in the corner, huddled up, weeping and praying. Mr. Rosenberg said, "Josh, tell me that it's not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. He said, "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, David was so afraid and he was crying. And Mama said, 'There's nothing to be afraid of, David.' And she took his hand and she walked with him to his death." My goodness, that's the spirit of a mom. That's the spirit of a parent, that nothing would stop them, that they would walk with their kids and stay with their family, come what may. That's motherhood. I want to pray for you today. And maybe you're here and maybe things haven't gone the best for you growing up. You know, I lost my mother, my mom, when I was 17 years old. 17. My dad's already gone. I'm picking out my mother's casket. I'm thinking, what? I can't believe. How could this happen to me? And that wounded me so much as a young boy. For years I carried that in my heart, only to discover one day that God would be there for me. He would help me. He would walk with me. He'd take my hand when I was afraid, when I was weak, when I was unable to live and do the things that I knew I was supposed to do. I could feel the hand of God saying, "I'll go with you. I'll help you today." And he wants to help you today. I want you to just to close your eyes, bow your head. I'm going to pray. I'm going to dismiss you today. But maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. Maybe you're a mom. Maybe you've been away from God. Maybe you're just a mom here today. You're just hurting. Maybe there's issues, troubles in the home. I want some of the prayer team. Just come down here. We're going to just give you an opportunity before you leave. If you need prayer today, I'm going to pray for you and believe the Lord to help you. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you can do that today. You're just right where you're at. You say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. And let the Spirit of God begin to transform your life." You're here today and you're in pain, you're hurting. I could go through a myriad of scenarios, but God knows them all. Father, I just want to say thank you for your love and your kindness today. God, I want to pray in particular for every mom and dad and family, that you, Lord, would heal what's been hurt, restore what's been broken, bring life to where life has leaked out Bring joy today. Let moms laugh today like they haven't laughed before. Let them weep today. Let some, as they heard that story about huddling together, let some of them just put their arms wide, grab their kids, their grandkids, the ones that they love. God, in particular, I pray that you'll put your arms around them today. They'll know your love. They'll know your grace today. Bless this beautiful people, I ask. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you. Come on down if you need prayer. If not, I hope you have a great day. Stop, get your picture done. Stop over the selfie station. Moms, pick up your gift in the back. Go in his grace today.